Praise be to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of our Master Muhammad and protect his Muslim nation from that which he fears for them. I ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to grant us the sincere intentions. Reflections on our blessed Prophet and his honorable companions. Allah made the companions of our Prophet of mercy, the same in belief, but diverse in characteristics. This unity in diversity is what is so appealing about our Muslim nation. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his followers that in the body there is a lump of flesh, which if good, the whole self is good, and if corrupt, the whole self is corrupt. It is the heart. Our Prophet spoke to the people's hearts. He appealed to their hearts, not only by his words, but also by every action and response from his exalted self. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Addressing our Prophet, Allah said in the Quran, Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 6, what means, "You would perchance die out of concern, following after them, in grief, if they do not believe in this message." Our Prophet said to a companion, "I am like a man trying to hold you by your waists to save you from hell, but you are escaping from my hands." Narrated by Muslim. The Prophet knew without a doubt that he himself would be saved in the hereafter. Despite that, he continued to extend himself to the utmost, hoping that others would be saved as well. Truly, he loved for his brother what he loved for himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Concerning his dear companions, our Prophet would never let any wrong actions of theirs go unchecked. Since his companions were not prophets, they were liable to make mistakes, even mistakes which were serious. On the other hand, if companions repented of sinning, our Prophet never reminded them of their former sins, thus avoiding to humiliate them. He knew that Allah had that sin erased. He told his companions that those who cover the faults of a believer in this life will be covered by Allah on the Day of Judgment, where there is no cover but the one granted by him. This means that those kind, compassionate people in this life will not be exposed and humiliated before the people on the Day of Judgment. Allah, the one who knows all things, will keep this person's secret bad doings a secret from the people, and Allah will forgive him. The companions of the Prophet were different kinds of people, some from countries other than Arabia. Many were very young, especially those companions who are so famous for narrating hadith and telling the true meanings of the Holy Quran. In order to heighten your awareness, let us tell you the ages of some well-known companions in the year our Prophet immigrated to Medina. Abdullah ibn Abbas, the great explainer of the Quran and the cousin of our Prophet, was 4 years old. Abdullah, the son of our master Umar, was 11 years old. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri was 11 years old. Jabir was 16 years old. Usama ibn Zayd was 6 years old. Anas ibn Malik was 10 years old. Zayd ibn Thabit, a translator for our Prophet and the compiler of the written sheets of Quran in the hands of the companions, was 12 years old. Abdullah ibn Zubayr was born in that year. Lady Aisha was 9 years old. Even our master Ali was only 23 years old, and his wife, Lady Fatima, was 18 years old. Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, the Prophet's famous grandsons, were not even born yet. Although Abu Huraira narrated the most hadith of any companion, he was also just a young man during those years. He continually accompanied the Prophet. Abu Huraira accompanied the Prophet only for the last 4 years of our Prophet's life. If you go to any volumes of hadith, these are the names which you will read over and over again, saying what they heard from the blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Truly, the companions of our Prophet of mercy were better than extremely precious jewels of all different sizes, shapes, and colors. Yet, they would say that they were jewels in the rough until their hearts were awakened by Allah's mercy, having the gift of Prophet Muhammad's presence and example in their special blessed lives. Letters sent to rulers. Immediately after the blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam returned from Hudaybiyah, he had letters prepared to be delivered to the rulers of other areas of the time, calling them to Islam. A silver ring was prepared with the words Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, Muhammadun Rasulullah, with which the letters were sealed, showing their authenticity. The Prophet appointed various companions to deliver the letters which were dictated by the Prophet to scribes. The letters would begin by saying, "From Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, to," and the ruler was named. The letter would proceed to say, "Peace be upon those who follow true guidance and believe in Allah and His Messenger." Appropriate verses of the Quran would be written. The letter called on them to become Muslim, stating that if they accepted Islam, they would have reward from Allah. Among the letters sent were letters to the King of Abyssinia, the ruler of Egypt, the Emperor of Persia, Heraclius, Heracl, the King of the Romans, the Governor of Bahrain, the Governor of Yamama, the King of Damascus, and the King of Oman. Various companions were sent with these letters in Muharram of the 7th Hijri year, a few days before the Prophet and other companions set out to Khaybar to deal with the Jews in that area. Some of the rulers embraced Islam on receiving the letter, others did not but were polite, and others still were furious concerning the letter's contents. The King of Abyssinia had embraced Islam. The Prophet sent him a letter which the king treasured. The Prophet asked that the Muslims who had emigrated to his country be sent back. They returned to Arabia during the battle at Khaybar. The King of Abyssinia died several years after receiving the letter, shortly after the Battle of Tabuk in Rajab in the 9th Hijri year. The Prophet announced his death to the companions and prayed the funeral prayer for him. The King of Egypt read the letter, and he told the companion that he would consider the call, but that he expected the last Prophet to be from Syria and did not accept the call. The Emperor of Persia did not accept Islam and instead ripped up the letter. He ordered that his governor in Yemen have the Prophet arrested and brought to him. Men came to the Prophet from Yemen. Allah revealed to the Prophet that the Emperor's son had killed him, and the Prophet told the men from Yemen. The men went back to the Emperor's governor in Yemen. The governor had received the same news from Persia, and as a result, the governor and the Persians in Yemen accepted Islam, walhamdulillah. Heracl, the ruler of the Byzantines, which was a part of the Roman Empire, received the letter, and at the time Abu Sufyan was there, as he would trade with them. Heraclius proceeded to ask Abu Sufyan a lot of questions about the Prophet. At that time Abu Sufyan had still not embraced Islam, but the Heraclius had arranged a setting where Abu Sufyan found it hard to lie about the Prophet, for if he did, he feared that his friends with him would consider him to be a liar. It may have looked like Heraclius was about to embrace Islam, as he even asked his people if they would like that he would. His people showed their disdain to the call, and Heraclius did not embrace Islam. He did send presents back with the companion. The governor of Bahrain and the king of Oman did embrace Islam, walhamdulillah, but the king of Damascus did not. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا